If you've ever been around a young child who's starting to speak, you've probably marveled at how magically words and names seem to come to them almost out of nowhere. It just happens. But what if you missed that window of opportunity and had to pick up your very first language as an adult? It happens more often than you might think, mostly in developing countries. I'm Gina Kaufman. Today on KCUR's Central Standard, we're going to stop in on a group of Kansas Cityans encountering the world of language for the first time. This story comes to us from Alex Smith.
Hey!
Debbie Buchold welcomes her students into a small house in Kansas City, Kansas. She's the pastor of Deaf International Community Church and the teacher of a weekly American Sign Language class for deaf adults. Her dozen students are almost all refugees from Bhutan, a tiny country in the Himalayan mountains.
So in Bhutan, I was really young. I think I was 7 years old.
Maita is one of the more than 100,000 ethnically Nepali people who were driven out of Bhutan starting in the late 80s. They fled across the mountains to Nepal, where they were settled in impoverished camps.
I didn't even know Nepal. I didn't know anything about it.
I should explain, the voice you're hearing isn't actually Maita's. It's Jampi Biswa, who's also a Bhutanese refugee. Maita is deaf and told his story using sign language for Jampi to voice. To protect their family's privacy, Maita and the other class members asked me not to use their last names. The countries where they lived, Bhutan and Nepal, have some of the highest rates of deafness in the world. Many people in this region lose their hearing because of a lack of basic health care to treat common ear infections, high fevers, and measles. There's also a stigma surrounding deafness, and it's common for deaf people to be kept out of public life by their families.
Some who could talk had a better life. It was different if you are deaf.
Like many deaf people in the region, Maita says he didn't go to school growing up, so he didn't learn sign language, reading, or writing. Deaf people were often stuck using informal hand gestures with friends and family and had no other way of communicating. When the Bhutanese government started pushing out the Nepalese, Maita's parents fled without him and his sister.
My other brother went with my parents, but me and my deaf sister, we were on our own.
Maita ended up living in a refugee camp in Nepal for 20 years before coming to the U.S.
Actually, we can go around the room and they can practice.
In Kansas City, Maita and the rest of the class sit in a circle of couches and watch their teacher, Pastor Debbie Buchholz, use her hands to introduce a new student.
Her name, D-A-O, Dao.
Dao is a woman in her 40s, and she looks terrified.
She has never been to school. The same as you, no school, she doesn't know sign language, nothing. You are her friends, and you know what to feel like, refugee, you know, hard.
With their teacher's help, the class members show me how to sign their names, Maita, Guman, Don, Harka.
My name is H-A-R-K-A.
Harka, so two fingers on the right forehead.
On the right forehead.
Okay. Or at least they try to teach me. It's tricky to make the hand signs, and I get the positions mixed up. Learning a language as an adult is a challenge, but what these students are doing, learning a first language as adults, is really hard, and scientists are just starting to understand why.
Are you ready for your walk?
Yeah.
Can you say hello?
Hello.
That's my son, Ari. He's 15 months old and starting to learn his first language. He's saying some first words, mama, dada, hello, bye-bye. His mom and I sometimes try deliberately to teach him certain words or phrases. We ask again and again questions like, is that a tree? Can you say tree? He probably thinks this is ridiculous, and he might be right. Rachel Mayberry of the University of California, San Diego says our lessons probably aren't needed. All it takes for a young child to learn a language is to be surrounded by people using it.
Children themselves, in an unconscious process that we don't quite understand, are able to, through this barrage of talk that they hear, to figure out the grammar of language.
But this magic window of language learning only stays open for so long. Rachel scans the brains of language learners and says certain areas seem evolved to process grammar, but if they aren't used by age 9 or 10, they start to shut down.
Although they're specialized for language, we see that for them to become fully operational or fully functional or fully wired, so to speak, that actually requires this early stimulation.
Still, for adult first-time language learners, the brain finds a way. It recruits other parts of the brain that normally process space and visual information to work double duty as language areas. These late language learners usually don't or possibly can't use complex sentence structure or abstract vocabulary. They would probably never use a sentence like this one that has a dependent clause or use a word like linguistics. But Rachel says they do have some advantages. When a child like my son Ari is first learning a word, say, hot, he's learning both the word and the concept at the same time. Adult learners already know the concepts, so they can pick up vocabulary really quickly.
There is this recognition of, oh my gosh, everything has a name. Oh my gosh, I can put these concepts together. So teaching language and learning language for these deaf individuals who are learning language late is a very important and life-changing event for them.
In the sign language class, the more advanced students practice their new language skills by telling stories. Most are in their 30s, 40s, or 50s, and this is the first time they've been able to tell others about what they lived through. Again, the students used sign language and other refugees voiced their stories.
It was so hard, so painful, and so hard to trek through the mountains. There was cold and snow. You couldn't walk on the snow because you could fall and be killed.
Men would stand in the forest and hide, and they would say, come in here, come in here. And we would say, no, no, and run away. We were so afraid because they wanted to rape us and then kill us.
In the refugee camps, we had all these tents, and the elephants would come in at night hungry. The elephants crossed people's heads and stepped on their bodies and tore their bodies apart.
I was a little girl. I grew up in the refugee camp. I didn't even know there was another place other than this camp.
As Debbie watches her students sign, she slowly shakes her head and tells them, I'm sorry, I'm sorry.
I'm happy that you are here safe. I'm happy.
She wants her new students to eventually use their new language skills beyond the classroom. So she takes them on field trips, like a recent trip to the grocery store.
Come on, let's go in.
Let's go.
The class steps past the automatic sliding doors, and they look stunned by the aisles of bright food packaging, the bins of fresh produce, and the rush of lunchtime shoppers. Many of them spend all day inside their apartments, so an outing like this is a big deal. The new student, Dow, stares nervously at the ground.
Honey, dew, melon, where? I'm looking, she said, I'm looking.
Debbie sends her students on a scavenger hunt to find certain foods and learn their names. They seem to light up as they come across familiar foods like yucca root that they knew from Bhutan and Nepal.
That's cantaloupe. Cantaloupe.
Their excitement about learning is obvious, but Debbie says it doesn't always translate to new language skills. Because they're late to language learning, sometimes the lessons just don't stick. Some of the class members can go for months without any progress. Others never seem to get it.
It's so discouraging that I, at times, get angry. And I don't know who to be angry at. It's like every human being that is born in this world has this right to be able to express their wants and their needs. And when I work with people that can't express it, I get very frustrated. They found salad dressing. I'm so happy.
But she's always looking for signs of hope. And on this field trip, Dow shows promise. Something seems to have clicked for this woman who seemed so lost. Within an hour, she's practically chasing her teacher through the aisles, pointing and demanding to know the names for things like melons, cabbage, and carrots. What's more amazing is she's signing the names back. Suddenly, it's not hard to imagine her shopping at a place like this on her own and finding her place in this community. Debbie says she recognizes teaching Dow and other class members may take years, and even then, they may never have real fluency. But that's not the point of the classes.
No matter what statistics say, I know that they're out there and I understand all that, but I believe in not giving up, and I believe in giving them something that they can use to have a voice in this world.
For now, Debbie and her students are taking on new language one class at a time.